It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so, do you remember a time when you and I were at IHOP and we were talking about writing and a random guy came over and inserted himself into our conversation because he found it so fascinating?
Yes.
Well, has that ever happened to you before?
I think so. I'm not remembering an instance off the top of my head, but yeah, I think it has.
Yeah, I think that's happened to me a handful of times. So I was out at lunch with a friend and listener of the podcast yesterday, and we were talking about a lot of stuff related to my therapy and their therapy and stuff like that. And at one point, this was at Shakespeare's, which has the very high wall booths, so you can't really see the other people in the booths to either side of you. But somebody stands up from one and gave a piece of sort of glib advice about what we were talking about that I won't go into detail because it's not stuff I want to talk about on podcast. But and so that was kind of funny. And then we kept talking or whatever. And then later, the same guy comes over with a beer in one hand and a chair in the other. And he says, "Sorry about this." And he puts the chair down at the edge of our table and sits down. And just starts talking with us. And he was very drunk. And said quite a lot of inappropriate things. But by and large, was still sort of involved. And it was very odd. He said it was the most interesting conversation he'd ever heard in that bar. So, which... See, and this, my friends, I said, it was funny when I left, I said to my friend, I said, the last time this happened to me was when I was out with William. And they said, this has never happened to me. And I'm like, oh no, this happens to me because I talk about serious stuff and I'm very loud. So the combination, this is what happens. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world where I got new glasses and a new haircut today, and you didn't notice either one, so we are fighting them.
I think they did notice the glasses. I can't notice your haircut because you got that hood on your head.
I know, right? I thought about that, and I was like, no, then they'll get in trouble because you didn't notice my haircut. I mean, it's just my same hair, but shorter. But yeah, I got new glasses less than an hour ago.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you said that you were going to, and you said that they were a different frame style than you're used to and all that stuff.
Can you
tell? I noticed right away when we connected.
They really are different. Like at the time I was like, you know, glasses, you know, people don't really, but I'm like, these are pretty distinct compared to the other. Like they are distinctly different.
Yeah, I have to admit that you do look very different than usual.
My wife has sent it because I emailed several people. I would have emailed you, but I wanted to mess with you for not noticing. But I've emailed some people with a before and an after picture, and my wife likes them. And she said, super nerdy in a good way was how she referred to it. But, and I'm also just so excited because they have the clip-on sunglasses thing again.
Oh, nice.
Cool. And I haven't actually gotten new lenses in like 4 years or so. So there is actually some correction improvement, which is nice. Mm. Although it does mean I've got a little bit of a headache right now as my eyes are adjusting. But I normally have a headache on this podcast. It's just this time I have the excuse of the glasses instead of other things. But I did notice a thing just before the podcast that is not great. So I'm getting older. We're all getting older. And I am getting to the point where sometimes stuff close up is a little blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have to do this and all that. Well, I discovered, even though it's not a fairly big correction, because that's why it's been 4 years, because every time they're like, oh, you don't have to. But then I broke all my frames. So this time I did have to. The farsightedness issue is way worse in these. Because I was going to text and I'm like, oh, this is like when my eyes were dilated. So, yeah. So that's not fun. But, you know, it was always going to happen. So here we are. Cooper's Donuts. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 573.
Yes, it is. Is it still snowing?
It is.
Freaked me out because when I went to get him, it was snowing real bad. And I'm like, do I need to go get Trish early or something? But didn't have to do that. It's looks like it's sort of going to taper off by the evening.
It's not super cold outside and it's accumulating really. So
yeah. For those of you just joining us, we talk about eyewear and eyewear accessories. The haircut thing was a one-off. We don't normally talk about haircuts. No, we have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, wonderful people, the best people. That sounded a little Trumpish. I don't like that, but really good people. Write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. Some of them, weirdly, even though a lot of people listen to this on audio, sometimes just send pictures, which, you know, but whatever. And the hat magically on its own forwards those emails to us and we read them / look at them and talk about them till we're bored and do that for about an hour. And that's the show, except usually very little of it is that. So here we are, Peter's Donuts. So I listen to a podcast called Off Menu and it's got two comedians I really like, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, and they have celebrities on, and it's a dream restaurant. So the celebrities get to pick their ideal starter, main course, side dish, beverage, and dessert. And it can be anything. It can be stuff that like your mom made as a kid or stuff that you had once far away. So it can be stuff that you can't get anymore, like whatever you want. The limited conceit is that James Acaster is a genie and so he can make all this happen. And then at the end, they just read it back to you and that's your order. But there are a couple of sort of accoutrements, and that is you get water and it's sparkling or still water. And also, because it's British, do you want papadoms or do you want bread? And James always asks that very loudly and aggressively and tries to sort of sneak it up on people. So they'll just be chatting about stuff. And then he's like, papadoms are bread, papadoms are bread. And I realized today when I did it that my hello, everyone is papadoms are bread, but it's always just to freak out you because nobody else is here. If it startles any of you that are listening, tell me in the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, because I would just adore to know that I'm freaking out other people also. So, how's your week been? Sorry.
Okay, so we saw the Batman.
Oh, like hanging from the roof outside your house?
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that's out because I don't know what happens out in the world. How was the Batman? Was it better than the Spider-Man?
That is funny, right? That those two movies are kind of out near the same time and you're watching them.
No way come up, Spider-Man, no way come over the house.
Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway.
That's the trilogy. Spider-Man, come over the house. Spider-Man far from come over to house and Spider-Man no way come over to house.
That's good.
And then there's gonna do a mashup, Spider-Man v Batman : We're Best Friends.
Do they still make those, or
I mean, doubt it.
Okay.
I mean, a brain that made that either was nine and grew up to do other things, or was on a lot of substances and most likely died long ago. So
anyway.
All right, so how was the Batman?
Well, we both liked it. You know, and one of the things that happens after you see a film is you kind of, or at least what I do, is I'll look at people who didn't like it. I want to know what was your issue with it. And of course, almost always
go find them and
no, almost always they'll say something where you're like, yeah, that's valid. It just didn't mean anything to me particularly, right? It's like it didn't ruin it for me. Most of the criticisms are about how long it is, because it's nearly 3 hours long.
Which is just the thing that happens down there. It annoys the shit out of me, but
yeah,
that is how it is.
But
where Netflix, in its various recommendation, you know, it recommends categories. It has one that it regularly gives me just called movies 90 minutes or less.
Really?
Yes. We are at the point in our lives. and it works on me too. Because yeah. I'm like, oh, great. I don't have to spend my entire day watching this film. Like, we are at the point where a plus in your corner is that you're short. Because I'm sick of this crap. That's why I watch them at home too. I can pause and go pee.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, the length of it didn't bother us. We both liked it. But we also saw Uncharted.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man.
That's right.
And you all played those games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I got a little into the first one and then that was it. I technically own the original trilogy here, but I haven't played it.
Yeah, we played them all. And so again, the criticism is that, you know, the two main leads were, you know, not very well cast or whatever. They didn't really evoke the video game characters in any way. That's true. But otherwise, it felt like you were watching someone play an Uncharted video game in all the good ways. We thought it was fine. We liked it. We'd watch more of them. Do we agree that these two actors, you know, basically Wahlberg and Holland both didn't really fit the roles?
Holland looks 12 and Mark Wahlberg is almost never the right casting choice. I've seen him be the right casting choice, but very seldom does it happen.
And the character that played the character from the video games, who's voiced by Claudia Black, also not a very good casting choice. But other than that,
weirdly, it was Gilbert Gottfried. I don't understand why they did that.
Other than that, it was good. I mean, it was a good, I would say it was a good video game movie and very representative of the games. But, you know, for whatever reason, Abby and I don't get hung up on, you know, like for the first 2 minutes of the film, you're hung up on that. Then you forget about it, basically.
Yeah, but you also liked that really shitty Tomb Raider movie from a few years ago. And that movie was shitty, and not for like it casting reasons. That movie was just shitty.
I thought it was all right.
I know that's your problem. That's what's wrong with you as a human being. That's what I'm saying.
But yes, if people can't get over how it was cast, then I can understand them not liking it. But if you just think to yourself, okay, these are the two people playing these roles, get over it. It's actually a pretty good movie. And then we also saw the second Venom movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I liked it as much as the first one.
I still haven't seen either of them yet.
Because I thought
I
think the first one was pretty good. I guess I feel like you'd like these.
Yeah, I stumbled a long time over the PG-13 aspect because I'm like, that's just dumb. But now that I sort of get what they are, and I mean, it's not like I hold Venom in my heart or anything, as far as anyone knows. So I think I will at some point, but again, it's like, it's a, they're long ass movies that are superhero stuff that I'm not actively interested in. So it's real. Like, I also might someday watch Aquaman, but I don't have any drive to. And on paper, everything about all of these superhero movies is not my kind of thing, including all the MCU ones, which I've all seen. Like, I have to have a drive. Like, oh, I really want to know this story. Or I really want to know what happens with this character. And that's not, I'm not having that with those. So like, it's one of those, like, if somebody's like, let's watch that, I'll be like, okay, but I don't know that I'll bother. But yeah, I'm very curious on the Batman. How would you rank it in the general filmography of Batman for you?
Abby and I both felt like it was,
I mean, let's put the Snyder ones off the table. I feel like I know where those go. And maybe let's put the Schumacher ones also off the table.
Abby,
so
and
we're
both
talking just Burton and Nolan.
Okay. Are you done?
I mean, and Adam West, I guess, but whatever.
Abby and I both felt like this was probably the best Batman film yet made. Because
because it's detective stuff.
Right. So one of the
this is the kind of, there are many different Batman, and this is, from what I could glean, the kind of Batman that is why you like Batman.
Right. I've said for many years, I'm sure you've heard me say it, that I would really like it if they made a Batman movie that had more detective stuff in it. Nolan did that a little bit, but usually they don't. Usually they focus on him beating people up or whatever. But this Batman, for one thing, they did sort of, you know, the whole film noir thing that they talked about doing, that they definitely did that. It definitely had that flavor and feel, and that was cool. It didn't do the detective stuff the way I thought it was going to do, or the way I really want to see it done. But they did do it more than any other film had ever done. So that was cool. And they did almost nothing with Bruce Wayne.
That I see, and I told you that because I had heard that was going to be a thing.
Now,
and I'm super fine with that because
right. Now,
in general, I feel like secret identity stories are a bit played out.
Right. Well, I'd sooner they have done something, but I was okay with them doing nothing. I mean, it was fine. It didn't bother me. Some people did bother. That was one of the criticisms, was that, you know, we didn't see a contrast between Bruce Wayne and Batman. It's like, no, we didn't, but it was all right. You know, that didn't bother me. I thought Kravitz did a great job as Catwoman. I thought that was really, really good. And the relationship between them was good. And I generally liked,
I know it's Zoe, but since you just said Kravitz, now I'm picturing Lenny Kravitz dressed as Catwoman. I'm not mad at it, if I'm honest.
And I never really thought about Batman's, like, what am I trying to say? Like, the characterizations of Batman that I like, I never really thought of them as being particularly noir or conforming to the noir aesthetic. But somehow this Batman conformed to the noir aesthetic and also was a characterization of Batman that I typically like. So I guess there's an overlap between those two things that I didn't realize until I watched this movie, because I don't feel like the Batman. So the Batman I typically like is like the Bronze Age Batman, where, you know, he's serious and he's really fighting crime, and it's not a silly Golden Age or Silver Age Batman, but he's still, like, you know, he doesn't kill and you know, he wouldn't want anyone else to kill either, because then they're become just like the bad guy. You know, he's got those types of almost Boy Scout type values. But so that sort of Bronze Age Batman is what I like. This wasn't Bronze Age Batman. This was noir Batman, but they kind of ended up being the same. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Probably does to somebody who follows Batman.
I don't know.
Mine is mostly movies. So I'm like, there's Adam West, and then there's the Michael Keaton version. And then there's Nolan and Snyder, which is basically, what if the Punisher had a bat theme?
Right. Well, you know, the thing is,
his parents killed?
No.
That's the first time a Batman movie happened, and we haven't seen his parents killed in decades. I think including all the sequels. I'm pretty sure we got to see it in all three of the Nolan ones at some point. In Begins we did, but.
Another thing about pre-modern age Batman, because after the Bronze Age, they call it the modern age, is all of the Batman before the modern age didn't have a problem working with other people. Right. That was something they did in the 80s, where suddenly he had to be a loner and he was brooding all the time. And if he worked with someone, he was really reluctant and he was rude to them. That's all modern age Batman. And this Batman wasn't like that. He didn't seem to have some kind of chip on his shoulder about working with other people. And some of the criticisms I've heard about the movie, want to say that, that they're trying to change Batman, or they don't like Batman or whatever. When in reality, this version of Batman was in the comics like before 1987 or whatever, you know, this isn't a whole new version of Batman.
Batman is, as with all comic book characters and movie characters that last more than a decade, is horrifically inconsistent in every medium.
Right. But the Batman that gets along with people ended up being sort of what the animated series Batman was. And Nolan's Batman didn't seem to have a problem working with Commissioner Gordon or anybody else. So this idea that, oh, this Batman's too friendly or whatever, this isn't what Batman's like. It's not what your Batman's like, but Batman's like all kinds of things. And this just doesn't happen to be the one that you like, I guess.
I'm getting real sick of, and I guess I do, I periodically get real sick of this, so it comes in cycles, but I'm on an upswing again of real sick of the difference between this is a bad piece of media and this is a medium I don't like.
Yeah, right.
Because, well, I had to come to terms with this. Literally last night, Trish finally remembered that we had been watching Foundation, so we watched another episode of it. And last night I'm like, well, I actually said out loud at one point, this show sucks. But I've come to terms with that. I think it's actually a good show. It's just really not for me. And I really don't like it. But I've come to the fact that, like, that's my personal taste. And it's very much, I watched an episode that very much what you were talking about. Like, I can tell. Yeah, this is fucking Game of Thrones in space. And guess what? I don't like Game of Thrones. So
right.
That's great. But when I watched it, I was like, this is really, really, this is clearly very good. It's just really not for me.
Well, I don't know if you'll like Batman or not.
If I'll see the Batman or not.
I think if you watched it, you'd be glad you saw it just as a piece of film craft to go, oh, okay, so this is a way you can do Batman. This is interesting. I don't like it. Maybe you won't like it. I did like it. Maybe you won't like it, but I think you'll be interested by what they did.
Here's the thing.
I think.
Is it Batman?
To me, it is. To me, it's a really good Batman.
Then I probably won't like it. Because I'm fucking sick of Batman.
You know what else was really great was Jeffrey Wright's portrayal of Commissioner Gordon. Wow.
Well, yeah.
So good.
As soon as I heard that casting, I was like, of course.
Good.
I love Jeffrey Wright. And that feels like the part he was born to play.
Oh, yeah. There's never been a better Commissioner Gordon, I don't think. For sure. Oh, and I love the Batmobile, but that's a whole other thing. I thought the Batmobile was very cool. It's probably my favorite Batmobile in movies. And that's saying a lot because I like a lot of the other Batmobiles. But this one's really cool. So yeah, I really liked it. If it weren't for the fact that it's going to be on HBO Max after 45 days of release, we'd probably see it again in the theater, even with the 3 hours. But you know, we hardly have to wait for it to be on HBO Max. So.
Oh, if I can see it on HBO Max, I might watch it. If Trish wants to, I'm going to do it.
I mean, I think you'll have interesting things to say about it if you watch it.
I always do.
Because I think some of the choices that were made by Reeves as a filmmaker were interesting. I mean, even just for someone who doesn't like Batman or superhero movies, but they want to see interesting filmmaking, I think it's worth it for that.
The only real interest I have is I want to compare it to the Nolan ones. Because I really liked 2/3 of the Nolan ones. But they haven't aged as well for me. So it's a very interesting sort of thing. But I guess there's a social aspect, but there's also just a personal one. Like, I need to make a break with Batman because I'm like, I actively don't like Batman as a superhero, as a character, as a concept. I do not enjoy it. I do not think it is good. And that's setting aside the fact I think no one can produce a new or interesting take on it at this point because it's been done to fucking death.
And of course, I disagree with you on all of that. So
yes, because you're into Batman. I'm sure I have characters that I also feel that way about that you wouldn't.
Here's another thing. The design of Gotham. Pretty good and very interesting. And I really, one of the reasons I want to watch the film many times more is so I can, like, you know, how did they do, you know, what was their method here? Because I think they're shooting it in different cities, like real cities, and they've sort of pieced together, and some of it's CGI probably. And I'm like, so what did they do exactly? Because I like it. I mean, what they've done with Gotham to me is unique and really cool. And I would really love to, if you ever watch it, I'd love to know how you felt about the look of Gotham City and how, you know, what that felt like and what that looked like to you.
I watched an episode actually recently, and a thing came up about Batman. Do you know canonically where Gotham City is?
Well, it's supposed to be New Jersey, I think.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Gotham City's over in fucking New Jersey. Metropolis is somewhere weird too, like Delaware or some shit.
I think that one's moved around a little bit more than Gotham City has, although I think Gotham City's moved around a little bit too. But I think
Gotham City was literally New York. Like, that was the term for it. But yeah, when they finally had to stick it somewhere, they put it in Jersey.
In Jersey, yeah. I mean, it's always pretty much been on the Eastern Seaboard or whatever. Metropolis, I think they couldn't figure out, well, is this a Chicago? Midwest, because he's from Kansas. But see, Superman wasn't, or Clark wasn't from Kansas the whole time. Really, it wasn't until the movies in the 70s that was super nailed down that he was from Kansas.
Originally, he was from Estonia. And
actually, in the radio, I think I've said this on the podcast before, in the radio program, Smallville was in Iowa for a little while.
You have.
So it's been in Iowa, yeah.
I feel like you've never had a conversation with a person in which you haven't brought that up.
Well,
like, Superman, cool. Iowa, like, how can that not be, like, number one fact in existence?
It might be the first place Smallville ever was in Iowa, and then it was all kinds of other places, including Delaware. You're right about Smallville's been in Delaware.
Smallville only exists for a few days at a time, and then everyone in Smallville falls asleep for 100 years, and then it reappears somewhere else.
Well, the big problem with where Smallville was some comics would have, like, he was in Metropolis, right? And then he would, like, just drive home to the farm. It's like, oh, so Metropolis and Smallville are close by. But wait, how could Smallville be in Kansas? Is Metropolis basically Wichita? You know, so that became really weird. That's why they always argued about where Smallville and Metropolis were, because the comics would have him variously living really close by the farm that he grew up on and really far away from it. Nobody could figure it out.
I want to thank you for giving us the episode title.
What's that?
The Big Problem with Smallville. Like,
the big problem with Smallville.
I have to double check that that's like not a children's book that Lemony Snicket wrote or some shit. But otherwise, if we can clear that, I think that's an episode title right there.
Right.
It's the name of my Big Trouble in Little China cover band. Wait, what?
How was your week? We've talked too much about my stuff.
I got new glasses.
And they do look good, I have to say. They look great. Good job.
For those of you listening on audio, you'll just have to trust us. I've been playing just stupid amounts of Final Fantasy XIV. A couple days ago, I finally beat the main story for the base game. Like, the when you first got it, this would have been the end kind of thing. That was annoying as hell. I forgot Final Fantasy villains like to make long ass speeches before fights. So that took a while, but I'm still enjoying that. I worry I should cut back a little bit. I feel like I'm heading toward burnout, but there's also, you ever feel like you might be being Truman Showed?
I don't know, but
I get moments where I'm like, that's not a thing a person would say in the world. And they're conveniently saying it to or near me. Because I finally got in a free company, which is their version of a guild. And I don't know very well, but there's people. And so there's like a chat running where people just talk and stuff like that. And the other day I'm online and two people are talking about doing something and they're like, well, I'm this level now. What should I? And they're like, oh, you can come do this. We'll do this with you. And they said, wow, this game really does just have so many things to do. And the other one's like, yeah, it does. Like, totally worth the money. And they're like, yep, definitely. And I'm like, okay, why is there a commercial for Final Fantasy XIV in my free company's chat log of Final Fantasy XIV? And I felt like I was being Truman Showed. I felt like this is product placement kind of deal. Maybe that's why I play it in the first place. That's why everybody says it's so good, is so that I will go there.
Maybe.
You have to say that because you're a paid actor.
That's right. Pretty soon I'm going to do one of those things where I sit and they interview me about what happened on the show.
But here's the deal, though. The ratings must have been shit if they decided to come up with COVID. Like, that's the shark jumpiest thing I can think of for my life. They're like, oh, fuck. He decided not to have kids. He's died. No career aspirations. His book is fine, but whatever. Shit. Global pandemic. And that failed. I was like, joke's on you. Now it's just him in his house all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the opposite of what they should have done.
Yeah, the ratings are not doing here.
Well, they didn't talk to me about that decision. You know, they just give me the
script. No, you just shut up and say your lines. But yeah, there hasn't been too much else going on. I like it that way. It's been pretty casual. I feel like there should be something in there, but no, it's pretty much. Oh no, did see one movie. It's a tepid recommendation for somebody who wants to laugh some and just sort of turn their brains off. It's on Hulu. It's called Vacation Friends, and it's Lil Rel Howery and John Cena play two halves of two different couples, respectively, with whose partners are not actors I'm particularly familiar with. And Lil Rel Howery and his significant other
are fairly straight-laced, uptight people going on a vacation in Mexico. And John Cena and his partner are fucking lunatics. And due to hijinks ensuing, they become sort of friends on vacation. And then everybody goes back home and they think they'll never see them again. But then they stumble back into their lives. And weird shit happens. And it's funny. It's not great, and you can absolutely skip it for the rest of your life. But it was funny. We had a good time that night. It's not 3 hours long. We laughed. John Cena is improving as an actor, or at least as a comedic actor. I haven't seen him do anything that wasn't comedic. To be fair, there's only been a couple of things. But I've seen him in quite a few comedies now. And he's getting better, and he's pretty decent at it. Trish compares it to the sort of John Hamm thing of like, oh, look, he's much better as a comedian. But John Hamm's a cheat for me because I know the history of John Hamm, and John Hamm has been a comedic nerd back before anybody knew who he was. Every LA comedian knew who John Hamm was because he came to every fucking open mic everywhere he went. So, but yeah, John Cena's really good. And Lower Howery, I only discovered via Get Out, but I've discovered I like him too. So they have good chemistry. It plays off of us. So yeah, Vacation Friends. If you got Hulu and you just like, I just want to laugh, do that. I did find out about something else yet, but I haven't watched it. I'm very excited though.
Okay, what is it?
Well, I was watching a What Culture video about it was 10 movies that came out in 2021 that are actually really good that you probably didn't hear about. And actually Vacation Friends was on the list, but I had heard about it, but it reminded me, that's why I watched it. But there was one I didn't know. And it's called The Amusement Park.
No, I've never heard of it.
No, you have not. It is a posthumous release by George Night of the Living Dead Romero that was filmed in 1979. And what it actually fucking was an educational film about elder abuse and ageism that got rejected by the people who hired him to make it because it was a little too edgy, and is basically a horror film that's only 55 minutes long that apparently is very Romero-ish, but also surprisingly good. And it's on Shudder, and it was one of those where like it was thought lost to history, and then a few years ago somebody found a print and remastered it. And I've seen the, and I'm just like, just as an oddity, I want to fucking see that. Like, I want to see the hour-long George Romero PSA on elder abuse. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I'll like it, but I want to see it. So I'm excited about that. If you have Shudder, watch that. In general, we don't get paid for this, and I feel like almost none of you are into horror movies, but if you are into any sort of horror movie, Shudder is a great streaming service. I cannot recommend it higher. It is sort of out of all, because there are a few streaming services that like Trish isn't into, so I sort of pay for them out of my own spending money, and there's like three or four of those. Because, you know, I do it a year at a time and see if I like it forever. Shudder's the only one that, like, I've never had to consider if I wanted to renew it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, fuck yeah, of course I do. Because it's always got all sorts of interesting shit on it. So, all right, question time. I think it's my turn. I don't remember, but we need more. We always need more, but we need more. Write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All of you should write in. All right, this one is from Azure Talent, as most of them are, because say whatever you want about Azure Talent, and I do, he's committed. He put a ring on it. All right, this one is called Work as Family. Not a family, Work as Family. Bestest Hostos. Maybe a little racist, whatever. I don't know what race, so maybe it's not. What are your thoughts on feelings on this workplace is a family? I started hated it. Sick, I guess. I started hated it and felt it was super disingenuous. Don't get me wrong. I've had coworkers I remain fond of, as you two clearly are. But I've never left a job and felt like I was losing my family or mourned the dynamic. And I don't really miss having Christmas parties and company outings in my new position. I just enjoy being left alone to do my job and go home. I know I'm a jerk. Do you? Do you really? But is this cynicism just a symptom of that? Or am I saying and feeling something common? Should I do judging others for what I think are stupid ways to deal with this nightmare, capital N, of capitalism? I might have used that greeting before, Azertown.
I mean,
let's just do the rest. Let's do the rest of the episode just in and see how much we can convey.
I have definite thoughts about that kind of thing. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts as well.
Well, let's hear them. Your thoughts are probably more interesting than mine. So,
I mean, statistically,
if we don't get to mine, it's not going to be a disaster.
Well, this is a lot of should, could, is things.
Yeah.
The good news for you, Azure Talon, is I feel business as a whole is growing away from this concept. I feel there is less and less of we're a family, and it's to the point where sort of all employment is mercenary. People our age, by which I mean me and Azure Talon, not grandpas like you, are sort of in that generational shift where, like, we got into the workforce believing this was a thing and now it's not. We're like, oh, what's happening? But I feel like generations past us are like, yeah, no. I feel that company loyalty is going away, as is employee loyalty. So it is what it is. I didn't like it. I like that feeling that I was seen as an individual by the company, a unique individual. I will 100% agree that there's a lot of companies out there that still try and pretend this is a thing. Well, like we'll pay it lip service, but then won't follow through. And that is some bullshit. And I will also agree that it should never really, the whole familial vibe should never be important. The culture should never be required of you. But I have experienced it. Near the end, I was very sad to lose, knowing I was going to lose all of those coworkers when I was brutally snatched out of ACT and tossed into this house. It is something that works better organically. I can also say, as an ex-employee of ACT, that when I arrived at ACT, they were very proud of their culture being much more like a college campus and a very sort of academic vibe. And there was not a business feel as much. And there was tremendous loyalty to the company and for the employees. And then a couple of CEOs later, and that is not the case. But in defense of them, I think they had to adjust to keep up with the rest of the world. I think it just would have driven them into the ground. I don't think you're unusual in not liking that. I also don't think you're usual in like that. I think there are distinct vibes. I think it is not uncommon to hate or love that sort of situation. But in your case, hating it, I think you're in luck, because I don't think it's going to be around a lot longer. I'm now going to pass it over to my creative partner, William, who will give you all a game to play. Go. What are you laughing at? It's party time. Go.
A game to play. I like that. That's good. Shoot, I should have had a game.
This is called the beer hunter. You need a 6-pack of cans. Like normally we drink bottles, eh? But for this game, we need cans.
Oh man, that's good. Huh. Well, so
did you forget your thoughts?
No. Of course, every office, probably business, you can say every business does, but it probably divides into offices, really, has a culture. And those cultures are so diverse. It's not even funny. And one of the things.
How diverse are they?
One of the things that does happen is what Azurtown is saying is you'll have a culture that or an office that tries to be very explicit about what the culture is. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. Like you were saying, where you used to work, they had this sort of, like you said, college campus type culture. And they embraced that and they appreciated it. And that was a real thing. That was, you know, whatever. Sometimes that happens. But a lot of times when you've got an office that's trying to say, well, here's our culture, everybody. Let's sign on to this. It almost never works. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be we're a family. It could be anything.
Well, and it is a difficult thing to do to create the culture you want. Like that's a very slow and organic process. It's hard to just be like, we're going to make this culture.
Right.
You almost can't do that.
No, I mean, and there will be a culture. That's just a given with human beings. But as you were pointing out, it's just going to be what it's going to be. If you have anybody come in and say, well, we want it to be this. That's probably if that works, it's not going to work by you talking about it explicitly like that. You'd have to institute certain policy changes. You'd have to be very committed to them and consistent, and you'd have to let it evolve over time. And
probably an elaborate series of interconnected familial marriages to like consolidate power.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So I think any attempt that any office makes to impose culture, and including the family one, and the family one, as Azurtown suggests, is probably the most, you know, as far as cultures that you can impose from the top down, the family one is probably the most annoying one, because it's like the most insulting one in a way, right? Like,
well, and it breaks an issue works. Of scale. Like, we're a family here. So let's say you are, how many employees you got? Now take it out of the metaphor, and in your life, how close are you to your third cousin? When you think of family, are you including him that you met once?
Yeah, it just seems ridiculous.
A family, frequently when the culture is a family, it's because it's a privately owned, very small company.
Yeah, and right.
You get that. Right. But well, yeah, that, anytime you hear, we like to think of ourselves as a family here. I'm like, yeah, get fucked. If you have to say it, you ain't doing it.
That's usually the case.
It's very much along the lines of a young adult saying, I just have so much sex, I can't even believe it. If you were, you wouldn't have to brag about it.
Now, as far as myself and how I feel about coworkers, usually, because it's been a long time since I had coworkers.
I really want to start a podcast with them. I'm just the only one who agreed to do it. William has literally asked every person he's ever worked with if they would start a podcast with him. I am the first one to say yes, and I've regretted it every day for almost 12 years.
I do typically begin to feel close with my coworkers and feel bad when I have to leave the job or whatever. I'm not very good at staying in touch with anybody. I mean, not even my own family. So it's not like I'm going to be able to stay in touch with these people. I know that. So I know that as the job ends, these friendships are probably going to end too.
So it is like a family. You grow.
It kind of is. Yeah.
We here at Acme like to think of ourselves as a family, but not a family that gets along.
But listen, if I was better at staying in contact with people in general, like if I was writing my dad every weekend or calling him on the phone every weekend or whatever, I'd probably still be in contact with people I used to work with because I would have kept in contact with them. I mean, I would have liked them. We would have been,
no
I would have
thought they as friends. Tried to run away.
Like when Facebook came along, I thought, oh, this is great. Finally, it'll be easy for me to keep up with all those people that I used to know. I can reconnect with all those people. I can stay connected with new people. And that was like that for a while until I started having problems with Facebook, you know, as its own thing. So I'm not on Facebook anymore. But while I was on Facebook, I did like that aspect of it, to be able to, you know what's going on with people I used to know, reconnect with those people. And I reconnected with lots of people from Melcher, but also from college Dallas. And from lots of other places in Dallas. Yeah.
And lots of other places. All over Iowa.
So yeah, I generally feel pretty close to the people I work with, and I'm sad if we are no longer, you know, going to be friends. Cause to me, we're friends because the thing ends, but I don't expect everybody to think or feel that way. I don't expect, you know, if I feel a connection with a coworker, for example, I don't expect them to feel that back. I don't expect them to feel like we're family, even if I feel that way. And, you know, oftentimes when I've worked somewhere that tried to sell that whole family vibe, I mean, I got why it was annoying to me. Even if I felt that kind of connection with some people, the fact that the people at the top were sort of imposing it on everybody, I didn't like that either. So, I mean, I think I get where he's coming from.
Basically, Azure Talent, in this and only this respect, you are neither weird nor horrible.
And I knew people
congratulations.
I knew people who, like when I would, as a manager, when I would do things like, oh, we're going to celebrate someone's birthday or we're going to have a Christmas party or whatever. There were people on the team that were like, I don't really want to do this. You know, I just come here to work. I don't want to whatever. And, you know, I respected that. I get that. That's fine.
I had a coworker near the end of my career because I was in an administrative position. And so I did. At a certain point, we got to say, because we kept having the thing with birthdays, and sometimes we'd forget, and sometimes we wouldn't, or else. And so we're like, let's consolidate a list, and then we'll do a monthly thing. Hmm. And I had one coworker, because I sent out an email to everyone, like, tell me. And I had one coworker, and they're like, I'm going to tell you, because I like you, and I don't want to mess this up. I do not enjoy people celebrating my birthday. I do not want y'all to do anything. And I was like, okay. And so I told my boss when I put it together, I'm like, and here's so-and-so's birthday, but we're not going to include them in stuff because they have explicitly asked not to be.
I totally understand that. And
I don't think most places I know, like when they would do potlucks or whatever, nobody would get shit on for not participating.
No,
the people who would get shit on are the people who would not participate and then still eat all the food.
Yeah, right. And I even felt a little bad for the people that didn't want to, because I felt like, you know, they were put in an uncomfortable situation and, you know, they were afraid they were going to look like some kind of a jerk or something. And I didn't want them to feel that way. I totally understood. I kind of felt bad for them being in the position where they had to say something. On the other hand, there were a lot of people that enjoyed all of that too. So, you know, it was one of those things where to respect everybody's wishes is kind of hard because most of the people want this. It's easy to respect those wishes. And then a tiny group of people don't, and you can respect their wishes. All right. But they're going to stick out like a sore thumb and they're going to feel weird and singled out, which you don't want them to feel, but it just happens.
And it became that sort of algorithmic thing where eventually William was like, the only way everybody can be happy is if everyone is dead. And long story short, that's why he don't work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Calculus just didn't work in my favor or anybody else's.
Mostly everybody else.
Yeah, mostly everybody else.
Yeah. And that was the thing too. He's not particularly imposing or anything. He'd come at us with a knife and we're like, what are you doing? But he explained it and it was a solid argument. We're like, I guess.
But I mean, the thing about it is though, human beings are
I got better, if you're wondering. He killed me, but I got better.
Human beings are tribal organisms. We want to have certain types of connections. And so for a lot of us, work is the only place that has an opportunity to happen. So that's where we're going to try to make it happen. But by that same logic for other people, it's like, no, these are intimate relationships that don't belong at work. You know, I'm going to form my tribal connections with family and extended family and people in my church, but not people I work with. So the same argument can justify having those strong workplace bonds or not having them, because they really are quite meaningful. And, you know, for some people that's like, well, let's do that. And other people are like, absolutely not. I don't want to do that at work. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Also, Tribal Organisms is the name of my Queens of the Stone Age cover band. And a close second for episode title, but I still think the big problem with Smallville is going to win.
That is a good one.
Mm-hmm. We need to cut this short a little bit today because I got shit to do. So fuck y'all. Gotcha. We love you, though. We love you. Keep listening and buy my book.
And send us questions.
My friend finally finished the book and was very pleased. And I got to talk with them about it. And is very eager for the sequel, which I do need to get started on. I think I'm ready to do that soon. Once I'm really out of the winter doldrums and spring has kicked in, I think I got to jump on that.
Are you still in the doldrums?
Yeah, some. This is this is when it sort of happens. It's frequently late January until sort of the big spring rain and shit is done. It varies, and the video game is helping a lot for something to focus on. But like when we got that huge amount of snow Sunday night, Monday was not a great day because I was like, oh god, it's all
cold. Right. Sure, I didn't even think of that, but yeah, I get it.
And today wasn't a good day, but that mostly is I have to podcast. All right. You should write in stuff that you want us to talk about so that Azure Talon doesn't monopolize the thought at this table. Because I like to think of us as a table with only two legs. So it's not a great table, but I mean, technically, you could prop it up on something and
lean it.
Sure. I would do it. I saw when I went to get these at the eye doctor, there was a sign, an informative sign, the title of which was "Contact Lenses Are Like Underwear," and I felt like this is a language is like jet fighters thing all over again. I love this. This is great. It also sounds really gross because I'm like, I put that shit on my eyeball. What are you talking about? That's disgusting.
How is it? How are they like underwear?
I don't wear them too long without cleaning them. And something about watch out for the sketchy pair, and I'm like, which is weird because like we all have underwear that is in disrepair, but who's at the store being like, I don't know, that underwear looks hinky. That underwear looks like it's been through some stuff. Maybe I'll, but it's so cheap. Like, what is that? Is there such a thing as like pre-owned clearance underwear? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And if there is, it should stop. Also, what's a sketchy pair of contacts? Same thing. I'm as soon as we're done here, I'm going back there. Be like, what the hell are you talking about? Anyway, we should be done. You should write themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com and go and engage with us at themagicaltalkinghat.com. I at least seem to respond to almost everything. If it's, there's a length issue. If it's X number of words or less, I'll respond. If it's X number of words or more, William responds. So if you can find X, we will both respond. So work on that. All right. In the meantime, I hope you have a good week and we will see you all next week. So Do you ever like leave, like get out of the car, but you left the radio on? And so the next time you get in the car, you turn it on and the radio's on, you like scare yourself? No. Me neither. I don't know why you brought that up.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.